Welcome to Knowledge Capsule, Jay Morali's pod show. Here he podcasts, talks, and interviews with experts on a variety of subjects that include technology, social science, English language, and law. The pod show aims at conveying basic knowledge of these subjects to the common man in a simple but comprehensible manner.
November 29, 2009. Open source projects need the support of regular people with work distributed among many people doing their own part. You don't have to be a programmer to be associated with an open source project. In this podcast, Daniel Sternberg, author of Curl, talks to Anthony Bryan about how to get involved with an open source project. Listen to the conversation.
Welcome to Knowledge Capsule, Jay Morali's pod show. I'm Anthony Bryan from the Metalink Project, and my guest today is Daniel Sternberg from Curl and Rockbox. We're going to talk about how you can contribute to open source software, whether you're a user or a programmer, and you can just get involved and help out.
All right, I have Daniel Sternberg from the Curl Project, Rockbox, and others with me, and we're going to talk about getting involved in open source. How's it going, Daniel?
It's going fine, thank you.
Could you tell me how the story of how you got involved in open source?
That's a long story, long ago. But I think I got started in open source when I started.
Was there an itch that you found with another project, or did you start off straight in your own?
I started to learn Unix, actually, basically Unix operating systems. In specific, it was actually the IBM one, AIX, back in the early 90s. And then, and then when I used that particular kind of flavor of Unix, I discovered that there were a lot of existing programs with the source code that I could actually download or at least get and compile and build and run.
So you were already a programmer at that point.
Yeah, I was a programmer already, but I also learned a lot from, because in those days I was just a newbie programmer, so I was very inexperienced in the language, computer language C and so on. So I learned a lot of C and how to get around in programming Unix and C from source code from open source programs. Well, they weren't called open source back then, but
they were just public domain, or
they were just programs.
Everything was just by default that way.
Well, not everything, but a lot of stuff was
right.
And then things moved on from there, and then I figured out stuff that I wanted to do myself, and friends that I worked on together, and wrote programs, and we just ended up following that tradition that we had learned from other softwares, and that tradition kind of implied that we release source code.
And that's pretty neat. And then how did you go on to founding your own project and being involved like that?
Well, then it just moved on, because then I came up with other ideas of programs that I wanted to write, and then I wrote the programs and started different projects, and then I released them under open source licenses. And then, of course, I also found other programs that I wanted to use, and I used them, and I found bugs, or I thought that they perhaps didn't work exactly the way I wanted to, so I changed them to behave the way I wanted them to behave, or to not bug the way they bugged, or whatever.
That must feel really powerful, and I come from a totally different perspective where I have to talk somebody else into that. I don't have the power to make those changes that I think should be there.
Oh yeah, it's very rewarding to be able to actually just, I can fix this myself. I can figure it must be something like if your car breaks down, if you're actually able to just fix the problem with your car, it must be a good feeling, or feel good to just, I'll just tighten this thing and it works again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can't relate to that. To me, it's almost like a little magic, because you're just casting your source code spell, and then it becomes the way you want it to be.
Right, but of course that I mean, it can't happen like that in all cases, because there's so much software. So even if I have, of course, I use a lot of software, and even if I don't like everything, and I think a lot of softwares could be changed and work differently, I can't fix them just because there's too much, and a lot of stuff is complicated, so I can't just hack in things either. So it takes a lot of time to figure out things too. But at least if the code is there, there's the ability.
Right. Somebody, if they're enough motivated, they can do that. Do you find yourself getting involved ideologically in stuff where you don't have time to do the coding yourself, but you can try and set them on the right path of how you think things should be?
I do. But I'm more of a practical guy myself, so I'm more hands-on in the projects that I participate and I want to do. So I'm mostly a doer and programmer, more than a guy who sits there and express ideas or thinks of how things could be done.
Yeah, I guess I'm less of a doer, unfortunately.
And then there's also the same problem is there, that I mean, there's a billion open source projects in the world. There's only a very few of them that you can actually participate in yourself, because of limited time and energy and stuff. So you have to select the few ones you actually care that little extra about, and that you actually think that you can make a difference in this project. And it's fun to be in this project, so it's there you want to be.
Right, it really is. There's nice communities around almost all the projects that I'm interested in, and it's really a neat thing. So there's obviously very limited amount of hackers, programmers on open source projects, but users, there's quite a bit, and there's ways that even they can be involved in open source.
Oh yes, I don't think you necessarily have to be a coder or anything to participate a lot. It's just a matter of wanting to help out in a project, and then there's always things that aren't programming that needs to be done and you can help out with.
Good starting points. For me as a non-programmer, you're just naturally going to gravitate towards something that you use or like. For me, that's usually download or file transfer programs, but whatever anybody else is interested in, it could be Firefox or something that almost everybody uses like that, or something niche like an audio recorder or whatever it happens to be. People can just get involved in the community by getting on the mailing list or the IRC channel and supporting the developers emotionally by saying thanks, hopefully.
Yeah, and just by hanging out in the community to start with, that's always a good idea, to just get a feel for the community and for how things run in that area.
Right, because some of them have different styles of leadership or collaboration or whatever.
Yeah, and a kind of different language or different culture. How are things actually done, you know, with that particular stuff? So it's useful to just, I mean, join the mailing list or read the forums and just hang out there for a while before you even say anything the first time. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, you can always just say thanks or hello, I'm here and I haven't been here before. But I mean, before you actually try to do anything, participate in any greater extent, to write new docs or update the website or publish bug reports or whatever.
Right. Those are some of the ways I've tried to be involved as a non-coder, just by, you know, checking out bug trackers and, you know, adding feature requests, which is probably annoying as it takes up time, but hopefully not too annoying. But triaging bugs, seeing, testing if they're invalid or not with maybe the latest development branch of a software. There's also packaging, which is extremely necessary, because if somebody writes a program but then the normal users don't have a way to get it without compiling it. You know, that severely limits its audience. And then there's, as you mentioned, documentation and things like that.
Oh, yeah. And that's also the just, as you mentioned before, the regular just answering to questions or just helping out other users. Those regular questions that many users just will keep on asking. I mean,
right. I mean, that frees up a lot of developer time, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. So just by helping out other users, you free up other developers from having to do that, and they can do something else instead. So of course it's useful. The more people that can actually participate and help others, the better it is. And in regards to that, you said about feature requests. I think feature requests could be really valuable in a project, but they have to be kind of thought through properly before you submit it. Because at least in a project that has existed for a while, people have most likely been thinking about a lot of different features already. Right, but it could still be an idea to submit a feature request. I mean, you can still come up with a new idea that the people in the project haven't thought about. So a feature there could still be valuable to the project.
Right, it keeps things fresh and flowing.
That's what I meant, but it's not useful when you submit the same idea that 33 others already had suggested.
Right. So what kind of contributors do you see to your projects? I know you have your drive-by patching phrase that you use for people that see something, code it up, submit it, and you never hear from them again.
Right. Those are usually programmers, though. They're mostly the kind that experience a bug and they hunt down the reason and they suggest a fix for it. But then, of course, you can always, in projects where you have like a translation, when you have the program in many languages, there's a lot of work to translate programs. That's not as much an issue for you and me, perhaps, that can read English pretty good, but there's a big world out there with people who prefer other languages.
Right, and everybody should be able to use a program in their native language, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a big difference to many people to be able to use programs in their own language. So that's a lot of work, and that's not a developer-intense work. It's basically hard work, but many people can do it. Read a phrase in English, express the same phrase in your native language, move to the next, and on and on and on and on and on. And besides, programs that change a lot, they will change a lot of translations all the time. So it's one of those keep up with the development
thing. Right, you can keep people busy.
Yeah, exactly. And the more translations you get, the more people you have to keep busy with.
Yeah, there. I mean, I know there's whole websites devoted to that, like Babelzilla, which is mostly Mozilla-related add-ons and stuff, but probably other things. And then things like Launchpad have stuff for translations, and then there's a whole ecosystem of programs for editing PO files and what have you.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's good contributions that most people can do. And besides, I thought about other things that you can contribute with too, and that's things like bandwidth or servers and stuff like that. A lot of
by mirroring.
Yeah, and possibly hosting or admining a mailing list or helping out with the whatever you use in your project, forums, right, or mailing lists or bug trackers, or because everything like that often. They need administrators. They need spam checks. They need, monitoring or rejecting annoying users or whatever.
Right. I moderate a couple open office or mailing lists, just keeping the spam out, and it's not that much work. But any time I spend on it saves other people from harassment or annoyance. So. I see that as a good thing.
Exactly, and I think a large in open source projects, it's it's kind of valuable to distribute the work over a lot of people so that not a single person gets that very huge load. So of course, the more you can help to just distribute it even wider, that's a good thing.
Definitely. I mean, you don't want the guy who's doing all the coding doing all these other tasks, because like you said, it's distributed, it's better when it's done by other people.
Exactly.
How do you think Curl is doing with that? Do you need help in some areas, or?
I think Curl is a bit too much handled by myself.
It seems like you're somewhat overwhelmed sometimes, and is there anything users can do to help?
But
I know you need. Sorry, go ahead.
I think Curl is I think it's very. I have a lot of systems set up already, so I don't need a lot of help. Like in the Curl project, we don't need a lot of help with administration or hosting sites or mirrorings and things, because we have already a lot of mirrors and we have a lot of stuff already set up. Mm-hmm. Now it's mostly a matter of actually developers. I mean, actually coding and finding bugs and
right. But those people are so limited.
Exactly, but of course, it's that you mentioned before also the what I see actually in a lot of projects, it's the problem with testing of stuff that isn't already released. I mean, finding out ways how to repeat bugs and how test patches against bugs and bug reports and see. Did the patch actually fix the bug that it was intended to fix, and so on?
Uh-huh.
And also, I think there's a lot of problem with the stale or just old bug reports. I mean, in some projects, when you can't really keep up with the amount of bug reports, you end up with, over time, you get more and more bug reports, and finally you have, I don't know, hundreds of open bug reports that are
right.
of different quality, but a lot of them are quite old by then. I mean, let's say someone filed a bug report a year ago in a very active project. Is the bug actually still valid then or not?
Right, and that could waste valuable developer time if they're hunting those things down and stuff.
Yeah, and it's kind of gets in the way. If it's if the bug was actually fixed, it shouldn't be sitting there as an open bug. It should be closed and said, this is fixed. Because it just takes away attention from the ones that you should actually care about. So that's also a work that a lot of people actually could help out with. Just repeat a bug and say that, oh, this still still bugs or doesn't bug in the current development version and stuff like that.
But it's hard to find people that are willing to be on the bleeding edge.
Oh, it is, yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying, because of course varies from people to people what kind of effort and you can put into it.
But that definitely is a very valuable contribution to test the development and pre-release stuff. That way you're not coming out with a 0.1 release like 2 days later to fix something that now everybody notices.
Yeah, exactly. But I think also in general I have a problem with people. But I think it's more in the drive-by categorization that people join a mailing list, they submit perhaps a bug or perhaps a patch, and then they don't really pay attention anymore to the mailing list. Then they just take off, or at least don't respond to any questions anymore. So we get a lot of pending issues. That actually someone said, oh, it's a bug and I have a fix here. And then there's some, oh, wait a minute, you said this is a fix, but why did you change this line? You changed the A to a B and it doesn't make sense. And then you never get anything back from the original guy.
That's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, it's very annoying because, yeah, they might have seen a bug, actually. How am I supposed to actually proceed with this? Yeah, if I had an infinite amount of time, I could just actually track it down and try to repeat it myself and try the patch and read the code. But since time is limited and so is energy, mostly I hope that people will actually come back and kind of defend their way of thinking and making code and explain why they did it in a way. And then I might agree or disagree and we can discuss how to fix it. But in general, when people just vanish, I just tend to, oh well, and then I forget the issue because I can't really keep up with all the issues that just... There's no other end to talk about the issue with.
Uh-huh. So the lesson there is if you care enough to report it, the bug or the feature or whatever, then stay around, stay subscribed, and see it to its completion.
Yeah, at least for a while. I don't think anyone has any responsibility to hang around forever. I mean, if I don't respond for a month or so, I can't be surprised that they might have left. But if I respond pretty soon, I would expect them to at least hang around for a while. At least if they care about the issue and if they really want to see it fixed or addressed.
Well, can you think of any other ways people can be involved?
Donate money.
Yeah, donating money is always helpful, I'm sure.
It's not really getting involved. It's more helping out the project. And it's not that easy anyway, always to donate money anyway. It's not necessarily helping it out very much anyway. It depends. Because in the Rockbox project, when we work on actual physical portable music players, they're actually expensive. I mean, they actually cost a lot of money for a lot of developers to work on them. So by getting a few donations every now and then, we can actually pay a few developers we can buy hardware for developers.
Right, that's a very nice concrete
way to help. And it actually works that way. I mean, we don't get a lot of donations, but we can at least spend the donations we get on hardware to real developers. So it actually brings the project forward.
And any users of that hardware, then they're getting those benefits.
Exactly. And then future users of another hardware that we might buy instead or whatever. Mm-hmm. So at least it kind of benefits the project.
That is pretty nice. Well, I think that about wraps it up as far as things I can think of.
Yeah, I think so too. It's really a matter of just listening in on a project and see what help you can do, because all projects need help in one way or another with stuff. So it's just a matter of hanging out with the project in the community.
Right. And then there's no project that's going to turn you away and say, we've got everything covered. No coders, no documentation.
Exactly.
Everything's done.
And if they say that, you know you've been rude in some way.
Right. That's the kiss goodbye, definitely, because you're being lied to.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me again.
Well, thank you.
As always, it was a pleasure talking to you.
You are listening to Jay Murali's Sports Show. Did you like the episode? Your views are important to us. Please email your feedback at jmurali@gmail.com.